Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear, dear friend, Dave Damashek. What's happening, buddy? Big, big weekend, huh? Lots of fun.
You picked the right word there. Lots of fun, Sal. What a fun weekend it was. What we learned about the sport of college basketball and who's good, I don't know, but I'm not going to get bogged down about it. Congratulations to everybody who roots for conferences, specifically the Pac-12 conference, and our pal Jeff Schwartz, whose heart is right now no doubt filled with song. Yeah, he's Oregon, but as he said before the Oregon-USC game and the whole weekend, hey, Pac-12, man, that's what matters. So surely he's over the moon right now. It doesn't matter that USC or Oregon won that game, right, Sal?
I was trying to figure out, I was going to make a pie chart of where my focuses were this weekend. It was like probably 30% kids sports, my Archie Iacono, big sack behind the line of scrimmage. Not enough.
He's racking them up, teams. Sal.
He is. They lost 35-26. They lost by 9 to one of the better schools in the area, but whatever, he keeps going. Harrison had a couple of home runs he was happy about in his Little League game. So that's 30% kids, probably 30% NCAA hoops, which we'll get to a lot. I had that League of Leagues draft, which is 60 rounds, Dave. You kind of started. You were one of the few that did start it.
Kind of started. It was my creation. What are you talking about?
I invented it.
Ask your pal Toby.
I did. He made a Winklevoss gesture at you and says and kind of laughed.
That you started.
It's 60 rounds. It's three sports. It's baseball, basketball, football. So you could pick LeBron James, and then I could pick Mike Trout, and Heel producer Jim Cunningham can pick, Derrick Henry, whatever. It goes on and on for 60 rounds. He put the software together. He got it all going. But what did you do? You yelled three sports draft and should be yours? I don't know.
Whoa.
What happened?
Yes. The hard work of, I don't know about coding or any of this jive, but so what? I'm the big idea guy. I'm Billy Blazejowski talking into the recorder. What are you talking? Yes, I invented this. And Toby carried out my orders very nicely.
Oh, wow.
No, we combined to create it. But the point is, you say could as though it's a theoretical. Let's let the current League of Leagues serve as a starter kit. And let's do it here. Why don't we do the extra points League of Leagues?
We can't do it. It's too crazy.
No?
It went 2 days. And it was Passover Saturday, so some had to bail out. So we had a slow draft after 6 p.m. It was crazy. And for the money, it's just not worth it. I'm sorry. It's too much. And then when you get to the season, when there's no excuse not to trade with someone, Dave, right? I brought this up before. If you need two wide receivers in our football, if you need wide receivers in our football league and I need wide receivers, we're not making a trade. But in League of Leagues, there's no excuse. I'll give you a backup catcher and 5 extra free agent dollars for a point guard. It goes on and on. It's terrible. But anyway, we can get Toby on and discuss that. We should do that
later in the week next week.
But like you said, the other 10% was probably devoted to Jeff Schwartz and his crazy claim that Oregon and Oregon State is not a rivalry. And
too much time with his friend and your friend, Clay Travis, celebrating the SEC as though what happens in Alabama somehow reflects positively on the two schools
That's
in Mississippi
thing,
or Tennessee
but
or
But to
otherwise.
Say that they're not a rival, he went to Oregon, obviously, graduated Oregon, played his football there, and is then rooting for Oregon State. And you and I rightly, I think, pointed out that this is not acceptable. And he said, oh, my God, it's not a rivalry. This is Angels Dodgers. It's like, well, this is the only state in the union that won't claim a rivalry between its two biggest colleges, I guess. Right.
Let's figure this out. First of all, there are some rules that need to be applied here. And I'm not going to be a dictator about how you go about your fandom. However, I do think we have to draw some lines in the sand here. One. If you live in Los Angeles, Southern California, or Chicagoland, or the New York tri-state area, this is not a sign from the sports gods that you get to, that like, hey, look, we're big city, so we get the Yankees and the Mets. Mm-hmm. And hey, Chicago, we get the White Sox and we get the Cubs. No. you must choose, and then hate the other. That is your right. least favorite team in sport. In the sport, you don't get the, hey, Dodgers and Halos, whoever wins, we win. No, no, no.
I'm
you
with
love
you.
One, you hate the other.
You got to pick. Right,
exactly. And you did. You chose poorly. You chose the Metropolitans over the Yankees. Inexplicable. I think your loyalty to your old man is admirable. Sad, though, for you.
Well, and then I learned, but inadvertently I learned and said, hey, sorry, old man, I'm not rooting for the Jets. I'm going to root for the Cowboys, which has been maybe a similar disaster now that I think about it. Hey, I just saw Brian Scalabrine is in the waiting room. We didn't
invite
him.
He'll have
him.
Some thoughts on this. Yes. Listen, I love Scalabrine.
I do too. I don't know why he's there. We didn't invite him or anything, right? Just
he's just lurking
just
around.
Up. Yeah.
He's looking for some one-on-one action or one-on-two. How do you think that's a good question? That's our first question.
Well,
bring him on
have
right
him.
Now.
Yes.
How would Sal and I do one-on-two against Scalabrine? That might be a fair contest.
All right. Our guest today is coming off really a truly great week. His mighty Celtics beat the Bucks Friday night. His USC Trojans are in the Elite Eight. And he skunked some punk high school kid 11-0 for millions and millions to see. Former NBA champion, the White Mamba, Brian Scalabrine. What's happening, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I do. Now that you reminded me, I had such a great week last week. I got to live up to that potential once again. I hope I have another good week.
How do you top it? I guess USC could keep winning. Are you surprised at this? I mean, everyone's surprised, right, that they went this far. But my God, they seem so talented to have lost 7 games in a regular season. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like they're playing with a tremendous amount of poise right now. And you see like Gonzaga, they look like an NBA team and the way they execute and the shots they get. And same with USC. Like those guys get good possessions and guys don't feel frazzled. Like you watch a lot of college basketball, you'll see a lot of guys that just like it just kind of helter skelter. Those two teams to me align with the way the NBA plays right now. And I'm so used to watching the NBA. I wish that those two teams could meet up later, but the Gonzaga USC game is going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. First of all, Scalabrine, I love that you're calling it Gonzaga. That's a disrespect right out of the gate, Gonzaga. How do you feel, though, about the Pac-12? Because our pal Jeff Schwartz over here, you know, he's an Oregon guy. And before the week, he's like, hey, Pac-12, man, it's awesome for the conference to do well. I feel this is wrong. You can't you root for one team in the conference and then hate everyone else. They're your rivals after all. How say you, Scalabrine?
I say opposite. I say I root for the conference. Yeah. No, think about it. UCLA was playing Alabama yesterday and I was rooting for UCLA. I want to establish the Pac-12 as the most dominant conference. I'm not into the rival stuff when it comes to tournament time. Now, against USC for sure, but no, that's it all comes down to money. So more conference wins, more money in the conference.
Oh, money. This is what fans are worried about is like what how much money the conference is making. What,
yeah.
How woke are we going to be as a fan base here?
New facilities, new weight room, new this, new tracks, new basketball courts, all that stuff, right? And respect. And that's what we want the respect. I want my damn respect.
I could see maybe to a certain point you rooting. All right, hey, it would be fun to have three Pac-12 teams in the Final Four. But don't you, if UCLA made the finals and won, you don't want to see cutaways and their fans going crazy and everything, right? Don't you root against them at some point? You
yeah,
have to pull
yeah,
the
I'll draw
lines.
The line there.
Okay,
yeah, good. But to have three teams in the Final Four, I would root up until that point. But no, I obviously, if it came down, no, I actually would root for the Pac-12 to get another national championship.
Really?
Even what if the it's hell? UCLA. That doesn't help you if UCLA
yes, it does.
Wins.
It does.
They will recruit better, not you.
No, it does. It does because it brings more notoriety to the conference. You got to root. I mean, this is the way I always felt. You got to root team first, conference second. And you can't waver based off of petty rivalries.
Right. And what
all
about
right, then go Nets, right? I mean, is that it? Is like so if the Nets play the Lakers, are you
the NBA is a different animal. There's no extra money involved in the Nets winning versus the Celtics.
All right.
No. NBA is a different animal. In college, you want your conference to do well. You want the notoriety of your conference after your team.
All right. Well, I'm dizzy from all this. We'll have to sort it out later, Dave. Now this is two athletes that are telling us they root for the conferences. Maybe we're wrong. We're on the wrong side. What do you think, though, Brian? You think they could USC could hang with Gonzaga? The problem, I think, is look at the Mobley brothers and how dominant they've been. maybe not the top two best players on the court in that game, right? Suggs is going to be a number one pick. Teammate's great. Like, I don't know that they stack up. And obviously, you have to hold Gonzaga to 75 to be in it, I think.
Sure. Transition. That's what it all comes down to. They both execute well in the half court. They both play with a tremendous amount of poise, but the Zags are a little bit faster in transition. They get out and run. So USC has to take great shots. You can't miss layups because those turn to buckets for the Zags. You can't miss, you can't get turnovers. You can't get your shot blocked at the rim. So it comes down to transition. If they can get back, they'll be fine.
All right. You were part of that Elite Eight team, right? You had to run into that Duke squad. Who did they have? Jay Williams, Battier. They had a bunch of
Boozer, Dunleavy, Duhon. They had five NBA players on that team. And it was a good run. Very similar. We were a sixth seed. We played some top, Kentucky, just like they played Kansas, and they had some really impressive wins. And so I think the difference now would be like, and similar, what we played Duke, who was the best team in the country that year.
Yeah.
They're playing Gonzaga, the best team in the country, to go to the Final Four. So a lot of similarities, but I think the talent on this team is much more than what we had.
Yeah.
Scalabrine, I see that you won a world championship with the Boston Celtics some years ago. Congratulations. On that, let's talk about the current edition of these Celtics here. I caught a lot of crap in Boston a week or two ago because people who I thought knew told me, oh yeah, Brad Stevens is about to announce, and it could be as soon as end of this day, the time that I said this. Oh, Boston got very mad at me. Explain to me that Brad Stevens might leave the Celts to go to college. But people like Woj and everybody else jumped in and said, this is nonsense because no NBA head coach would ever leave the league to go back to college. To me, it seems on some levels more desirable to be in the college town, to be in the fire of a tough town like Boston.
Yeah. I'll sum it up really easily for you. Brad loves college basketball. He loves coaching college basketball. Begging a 17-year-old kid with the parents and the AAU coach there, and can you bring my teammate on my team, and the recruiting process, it's not an NBA is a much more cut and dry way of doing it, right? You have salary caps, you have max contracts, you have mid-level exceptions. You're not in there begging people to come. You talk to the agents, the players like, okay, I like what you guys are doing, let's go. The whole recruiting process is what I think would draw the line for Brad Stevens, being in the gyms in July, August, and trying to recruit. And like I said, chasing around 18-year-old kids and trying to convince them that you're going to help them get to the NBA while they're going to help you win a national championship. I think that's where you draw that hard line of like, I don't want to do that.
Speaking of chasing 18-year-old kids, you were on the it ended up being the fortunate end of a challenge. It was last week. It was a gym. And a high school kid, what does he see you working out? And what happened exactly? He called you out because the first part was cut off, but you made him pay for it.
Yeah. They did a good job of editing that. So like my daughter who plays was about to do a scrimmage, and girls, when they get together at the very start, they always talk and they put their shoes on. They ask how the day went. They look at their phones. Like it's nuts, right? Like we got in the gym, we go right to the court. They get into the gym and they got to like catch up. Right. So while that's happening, I'm just warming up. I'm just getting back. I kind of hurt my back. I play a ton, by the way, still. I just hurt my back about 6 weeks ago, and I'm just getting back into playing, so I'm trying to dial my shot in. And some high school punk comes over to me and starts, like, talking trash. Now, don't get me wrong. I play high school kids one-on-one all the time, and most of the time, they're really respectful about it. Hey, I was just wondering if I could see where I stand or stack up against an NBA player, a former NBA player. This guy came over with the heat, started talking major trash from the beginning, and I didn't want to play. So what I usually do to deter people from playing is I always have them put something on the line. Like, all right, I know kids love their phones, so I was like, all right, put your iPhone up. I'll put mine, brand new. You put yours, winner takes the phone. And I was thinking at that point that would deter him from wanting to play, because no kid wants to, now all of a sudden a chance to play is different than a chance to lose my phone, right?
Right.
So at that point he didn't bat an eye at it. He was like, put the phones up then, let's go. So then I'm like, oh man, I got to play. I don't really want to play right now. I haven't really played basketball in a while because I'm just coming back from this back injury, right? And so I had to level up, man. He wasn't backing down, so I had to go over there and play him. And at that point, you know, like if I was in and I warmed up and ready, then I had to put the smackdown on him versus like trying to help a young kid out, which I do all the time. Like,
right.
Hey, whenever you're driving, you want to get into my body because you got to do this. So with that kid, I was like, I'm going to destroy you. And that's basically what
I do. Wow. Imagine having such confidence, Dave. Was anything other than 11-0 acceptable? Like if you, would it have ruined your day if he had scored three on you?
It wouldn't have been as good of a story if he would have scored a couple of points. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't believe. Here's the misconception. You can talk to a lot of people and they're like, common sense says you're not going to beat an NBA player one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I think the shocking thing is if an NBA player doesn't want you to score, you're probably not going to score against him either. And that's where the divide is. I'll go around right now and I can talk to 100 people and 100 people would tell you I can get a bucket on you. 100 people won't say they can beat you. All these people believe that they can score, but they do until they're out there. And I always say, Mike Tyson said it, everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face. Well, everyone has a plan until you get an elbow in your chest and I go up for a layup and you go 5 feet flying backwards.
I think, I think, sincerely, I think you honored the NBA and you did the right thing. You cannot allow an inch here. If you, I mean, the pressure is on you on behalf of Jerry West on, as the logo on down. If the guy got a bucket off of you, that's a disgrace. Good for you. I'm glad you brought the hammer down on this nonsense.
I am 10 years out and 43 years old. And I have like, just like you guys have a lot of jobs. I got to fit basketball in. This is a high school player playing every single day. He's on AAU teams. He's on his high school team. So like there will be a time where I will lose to a high school kid. It doesn't like, besides LeBron, like Father Time is undefeated. Like LeBron has beat Father Time, but Father Time is undefeated. There will be a time when I lose this game.
But as of now, can you beat every high school kid in the country?
No,
every
single one. Man, you go watch some of the top players. He wasn't a top player. Nah, I'm sure those guys will beat me. These young guys now with personal coaches and all this stuff and working, you know, 3-4 hours a day. It's just big business now. But no, I might be able to beat some All-Americans, but there's five guys out there that can beat me. There's 10 guys out there that can beat me, no question.
Scalabrine, this is a curmudgeon stuff out of me, and Sal and otherwise get upset with me about this. I think we lie to ourselves if we act like college basketball is at the same level it was, even when you were around. And really, it's the one and done thing that the NBA is requiring these 18-year-olds to spend that year. I think it's diminished the quality of play. And now every game feels like a coin flip result. Oral Roberts was almost one of the eight teams standing at this point. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to a point of silliness, right? The tournament is fun, no doubt. Red Dawn is a fun movie to watch, too, but you can also identify its flaws. And this tournament is fundamentally flawed as trying to evaluate who's the best team at this point.
Brian, could you first explain to Dave how hard it would be to flip a coin and get 3 1s and a 2 in the grade 8? Explain, Dave.
All right, Oral Roberts almost won.
About one of the teams, but why is it 3 1s and a 2 in the grade 8? Like, it just, your coin flip theory is terrible.
You look at it as flawed. I actually think it brings, like, the one and dones bring more excitement to it because a junior, a senior, a bunch of seniors, a bunch of juniors and seniors actually can beat five guys that are going to the draft next year. Like, I don't know if the kid Max Abesmith is going to make it to the NBA or not, or if he'll be a specialist guy or whatever. But the fact that they might be able to upset, you know, like three guys in a lottery, two guys in a lottery, I think that's what makes it fun. Alabama should have beat. Like, Alabama has all these athletes, but UCLA, their basketball IQ was off the chart. The execution, the picking them apart defensively, offensively, forcing them to do what they don't want to do. Like, that's what makes the tournament better. It's because you're not looking at all these finished products. The NBA is so predictable. You got most finished products. They all do the same thing. There's 10 different ways to win and 10 different ways to lose. So I actually think the opposite of you saying it's flawed. I like the fact that a team with some seniors can come in there and win a national championship.
Sing UCLA's fight song then. Why don't you?
I'm not doing that.
Sing the Pac-12 fight song. That's what we need, Sal. We need whole conference fight song.
No. But if you watch, you can see, like, there's, like, when it comes to NBA players, Alabama had more NBA players because of size, length, athleticism, and all that than UCLA. But UCLA, even though they hit that game and we went to overtime, poise, IQ, execution, that's what won it.
By the way, I have it on good authority that former Pac-12 players, the O'Bannons, it goes on and on, were rooting for the high school kid against you. So I'm not sure how this translates. Can you imagine in the 70s, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in a gym being like, kid, we're playing for phones. And he's like, what? The thing hanging in my kitchen wall? The thing? Yep, we're playing for phones. Go have your mother drive it over. Unbelievable.
I didn't take his phone and I didn't take his shoes. I couldn't do it. I didn't want mommy and daddy calling me. And by the way, I had no idea this thing was going to go viral. Literally, I have zero idea. This is like a Tuesday for me. It's not anything special. The only thing that made it special was the kid did not bat an eye. And I think he really thought he was going to beat me.
What did he say afterwards? I'm so sorry to keep getting back.
He was embarrassed by in front of all his friends. Yeah. It was a tough day. They were his friends. You guys seen Rocky IV, right? Rocky went into Russia and they were booing him and all that stuff. By round five, they were cheering for Rocky and it was a disgrace to the Russian. That's how his friends were. Like they were killing me until it was 3-0 and then they started the ship. By eight, they were chanting my name, Scow, Scow, Scow.
Yeah, we want to root for the winner. You know what you should have done? You should have taken one shoe. That would have been even more humiliating. Yeah. Let him walk around with one shoe. There's his badge.
I like Scalabrini, by the way. Those people embarrassed themselves and their nation that night, that Christmas night in Moscow.
Russia?
Cheer. Yeah. Balboa strikes their hero a couple of times on the jaw and they flip and they start chanting USA. That was an embarrassment. But what about if... you don't know me and Sal. Sal's, what are you, like 5'4", Sal? Something like that. I'm about 6'1". We're a little older than you, let's say. Could we beat you 2-on-1? Would that, do you think that would be fair?
I don't know how good you guys are, but I
played. I'm very good, but.
Yeah. I played three radio guys here in Boston.
Three?
And I beat them. I let them score. I beat them 11-1. So, three guys.
Three radio guys.
If you guys could shoot, you could beat me. Put it at 2-on-1. I can't cover that much space. But if you can only make layups, you will not get a layup against me. But if you can shoot, then you can beat me because I can only cover so much ground.
Oh, it's not fair. How did you get so much high? Hey, you know what else isn't fair? The NBA and these trades and I don't know. What do you see? It just seems like it was only a few years ago that David Stern said, no, Chris Paul can't come to the Lakers. That would be unfair. And now you have these teams loading up and the Nets, like, where does it end? Now they sign Aldridge is it fine? Are you okay with this? And then the Lakers get Drummond.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah. Like the fans, the internet, Twitter, everyone's going nuts that Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge are signing with the Nets. Right. And everyone's going nuts about it. Mm-hmm. But do you know who, like if the Nets got Rashawn Holmes out of Sacramento, no one would bat an eye. But Rashawn Holmes is much better for the Nets than both those guys. But you know how it's like when people think it's Blake Griffin jumping over a Kia and it's a Marcus Aldridge, one of the biggest free agents ever. Like the game has passed both those guys when you think about the speed of the game. Now, can they contribute? Yes, but they're a fraction of what they were. And this is a fast game now. And the big men are not necessarily household names, guys who are better than those guys, no one knows, but they just are remembering Blake Griffin, the commercials, the Marcus Aldridge, the free agency. They're not seeing, like, they're not watching Blake Griffin in Detroit, or maybe they're not even seeing LaMarcus Aldridge in San Antonio. So it's kind of an overreaction from the name, not the game.
Yeah.
But is it, I feel like that the older gang are the people who don't like what's happening in the NBA, but you were there for, I guess, the original Big Three, really, or the 21st century version of what a Big Three is, or Big Four, if we include you in that Celtics title run 12, 15 years ago. I get that people are uncomfortable with change and progress, and system, but this is basically what it is. Instead of a GM doing it for the Lakers in, say, 1980 and getting Kareem and Magic and James Worthy together, this is the player level. This is the working class pulling together. This is the way it's going to be, whether you like it or not, right? This is the extension of it.
I don't have a problem. I think people have the right to play with who they want to play for. And I just wish, like you said, that Chris Paul trade that was vetoed.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if you know, like the Houston Rockets, I think it's one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA, what they got in return for James Harden, who might win the MVP this year. It's like, it's amazing. The guy started out handing honey bun bags to rappers with strippers around, and all of a sudden now he might be hosting the MVP trophy right next to Adam Silver, where they laugh, smile, take the picture, and they whisper things into each other's ear during the time. Like, I don't even think, what kind of bizarre world do we live in? But it doesn't mean he doesn't deserve it. He 100% at this point deserves winning the MVP. But
I think he goes on a run. I think you see like 5 out of 6 40-point games from Harden, and then he's really in the conversation. And then other players fraternize with strippers. They're like, hey, this ended up being a good thing.
Ray Lewis was the Super Bowl MVP. That you think?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything James Harden could do. He just gained a little bit of weight before he made it up to New Jersey. But is this the best? It occurs to me that LeBron, obviously, at the height of his powers, was the best, and Dwayne Wade was pretty close there. And then Bosch made a powerhouse one. Celts, too, it was always, Paul Pierce gets the shot if it's a last-second situation. This, to me, feels like, wait, let's pull back a little bit. It's James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. This crazy. I mean, these are three of the 30 best scoring NBA players in the history of people. True.
Let's divide that out. We have the top two, let's say two of the top three best scorers of our generation, whatever the 2010 to 20, whatever these guys play. Let's just Durant and Harden. And then you have Kyrie in that. He's not in the set. There is a huge drop off between those two and Kyrie. Even though he's having a really good season this year, I don't think that he's in their conversation. So anytime you put two top five players, and if Kevin Durant has to be healthy, he's not healthy right now. And it's a long story on whether he'll be able to come back and push through a playoff run where you're going to get tight and nicked up. And it's a long playoff grind. And we don't even know how many minutes Kevin Durant's going to play, but like James Harden and Kevin Durant alone, those two guys on a team would probably be better than any two duos out there. Unless you throw in LeBron and Anthony Davis when both of those guys are healthy.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Woj is reporting that the Celtics just signed the kid you beat in the high school gym to a 10-day contract. So that's good. They're right back in the mix there, right? Getting rich.
They would not be in the mix. But I did ask Danny on air. Danny, you saw my video. What do you think? You think I got anything left? He's like, you didn't have anything left 10 years ago.
Those are hurtful words. Who would... they need to replace the whole All-Star game. It's not entertaining anymore. It's nonsense. What about a one-on-one tournament, though? And you have two sides of it, 6'9 and under, 6'10 and above. Who would win the 6'9 and under one? Who would win James Harden versus Kevin Durant, first of all?
I think the 6'9 and under would win that. Yeah, they just play fast.
Well, who would win it, though? Who would win it?
Oh, in a one-on-one?
Yeah.
Probably LeBron at 6'9 and under, and maybe Embiid. Embiid would beat Durant one-on-one. I mean, he's massive. He just like what you saw me do to the high school kid, that's what Embiid would do to the rest of the guys.
But doesn't it depend on who has the better phone? Like if Embiid has an iPhone 6, what does he care about? Right? He'll just give it
gold plated. Yeah. Good point. No, I can't imagine anybody in the NBA would be able to beat Embiid one-on-one. He's too big. He's too skilled.
Scalabrine, tell the story. I know it's a little while back now. The night you won the NBA title with the Celtics. What happened? You went into the press conference after the game?
Yeah, so, I had my pregame meal that day at 3, and then we won the championship, and I took two bottles of champagne right to the head. I mean, did all the like pictures and all that, and chanted, yeah, we go to the back of the locker room. When everyone was squirting the champagne, I was taking it down, right? And then, champagne, it hits you weird, right? It's not normal. Like, so I'm walking around kind of finding people, felt fine. And then I had this crazy idea to go up on the podium and call the media out for saying we're going to lose to the Lakers. So I go up onto the podium, and all of a sudden it hits me, and I am like, the room starts to spin, and I'm answering all these questions completely hammered. And that's why I came up with that line. Like, you guys are you're laughing at me because I never played, but no one's going to remember that. I didn't realize the explosion of the internet and YouTube. You can look all this stuff up. So I said, 10 years from now, you're not going to remember. And 20 years from now, I'll tell my kids I played. In 30 years, I'll probably lie and say I got the MVP. So I'm not too worried about it. And Now I tell people all the time, when people say, Scal, thank you for 2008, because, you know, I do the Celtic games and I walk around the arena when we have fans. And now I say, I know, man, I carried that team all the way to the championship.
You carried Paul Pierce off the court and then back out, and then you carried the Celts to a title. Right?
That's it, man.
By the way,
if
every few years you could plant a viral video of you beating up on a capable player, people may think of you as an MVP. Like, yeah, that's a kid. He still beats everybody. It's unbelievable what he does.
Exactly. I think
there's something to it.
You remember he had a great finals. You remember that finals against the Lakers? Yeah, he was good.
Hey, we have Kendrick Perkins on our podcast network. He does a podcast he hosts with Gina Paradiso called The Betting Academy. Very informative. I think he went 3 out of 4 this week. Do you have a good Perk story? I mean, I know you guys were the life of the party there in Boston.
Yeah, so Perk has been... Perk has been working with us now at NBC Boston. Right. Yeah, my best Perk story is it was when we had Delonte West and Gerald Green, and there was a mix up in play calls, and they were kind of jawing back and forth. And one thing or another, like Delonte West challenged Gerald Green to kind of a fight, and Perk, instead of letting it, like normally, like you get in the NBA, you jump in between, like, oh, we're all good. Don't hold me back. Let's get back to practice. Perk was like, come on, let's go. Y'all need to settle this. We need to get this done right now. We need to get it out there. Y'all want to fight? We need to fight, because we got to get past this. So that was I remember Perk was like just gassing up those two guys. I'm not sure he wanted them to fight, but he was like, we need to clear the air right now. So I thought that was a really funny story from Perk.
That's the best. He still does that with our podcast producers. He hasn't stopped.
There you go. He's
a troublemaker. Right, do me a favor. I'm going to bet on FanDuel. Give me an NBA champ and give me an NCAA tournament champ. I'm going to parlay them together.
All right. So if you want odds, you'll pick USC. If your odds like a,
I want the winners. I want to win this this parlay.
I think the Zags are going to beat USC. So I would take the Zags. One team I'm worried about is Baylor. Those guys defend, man. They defend. But I think Zags beat those teams. Mm-hmm. Like I said, USC is their toughest matchup. If they beat USC, they're going to win. And for the NBA champ, I'm going to say the Milwaukee Bucks.
Really? Wow. That's a hefty pay. That's over 21-1 odds if we do Gonzaga to the Bucks there. They're plus.
So you're saying those two get you 21-1?
Yeah, so a little over.
What is what would if you threw Baylor in there? What would that get you?
Well, it'd get you. We'd have to take Gonzaga out.
Zag's out. Baylor in Bucks. Baylor in Bucks.
Okay, so let's say. Oh boy, that's a nice one. That's 37-1. Bucks and Baylor.
Oh, I would keep it at the Zags.
Oh, keep it at the Zags.
Yeah, 21-1. I'd keep it at the Zags.
All right. I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the Zags beat USC is on the same level as the Zags, except the Zags play fast. So if they can get past this round, if the Zags can get past this round, they're going to win a national championship.
I almost think this is their toughest spot.
That's what I
right
think
now.
Too.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I do too. USC looks really poised.
Yeah.
Poise matters in big games. So,
yeah, there for you sure. Go. Well, thanks for coming on. This has been terrific. If that parlay hits, I'm going to get you a new iPhone because it's all about the phones. As Brian Scalabrini has told us. You have anything else to plug?
No, if you're up in a New England area, I have a Scal's Lemonade Vodka if you guys want to just get hammered on some really high quality stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, let's get that so we can jump on the podium after we win the 2-on-1 against Scalabrini.
I didn't play around. I went 18% alcohol, so it's strong. And you're supposed to crush a can. You're not supposed to mix it with anything, so good luck with that.
Why do I feel like he's going to be drinking this stuff 20 years from now, challenging high school kids in the gym? Come on, let's go.
If I'm being kids after drinking 20 years, after drinking 2 Scals Lemonade Vodka, then I'm doing something right.
Excellent. All right, thanks for coming on, Brian. I appreciate the time.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Take care. He's fun. A lot of fun.
I told you, delightful fella, right?
You did. Yeah. He's excellent. All right. So we have to go Gonzaga and Milwaukee. And that's what did we say? 21-1 on
FanDuel? How embarrassed. To me, I think that would be a grave embarrassment if we lost 2-on-1 to him.
No.
I don't care who's the best player in the NBA. LeBron,
he just said
whatever,
he'd beat three
Giannis.
Guys. Why?
If Giannis beat us, for real, there would be no way for us to stop him from scoring is the problem. And same thing with
that
Scalabrine.
That is a problem. And we'd have to hit every shot from the field. Otherwise, he's getting the rebounds, right? So
I guess if it's make it, take it, that's the critical choice. But yeah, that's what would decide the game, is if it was make it, take it, we would, in fact, lose. Two grown men would lose to one other
We're
grown
done.
Man.
Yeah, if I have to move around a little, I have no interest in playing basketball for the rest of my life. Honestly, we'd play how many days a week?
I know.
You know, right? After the Man Show. Obviously, it's two decades ago. But I played Archie, my oldest son, like a few years ago, and I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I'm like, what's more important, that I try to beat this kid, which I probably won't because he was already taller than me at the time, or that I keep working for the family? And I decided
I agree. It's a sad revelation that I had maybe about 6 months or a year or so ago. Hench invited us to play basketball.
Yeah.
At his place. And I said, I can't play. I'll get hurt for sure. I would definitely ruin my back again or rip an Achilles or something like that. And then it occurred to me like, well, that's not going to change 5 years from now or 10 years from now. I, like you, I think I probably have played my last competitive basketball game.
Yeah, we looked for every excuse to blow that invitation off. But now we just watch and we bet. And we bet on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter if you were taking Oral Roberts this weekend or if you were taking the Baylor Bears. New users got up to $1,000 and will in site credit back if the first bet doesn't win. They have odds on all the action, games, day and night, easy-to-use app, multiple deposits, and fast withdrawals. And if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you! They're giving away $1 million to one lucky better. New and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet the NCAA tournament. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. Yes, FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Dave, let's get to these FanDuel odds. So 8 teams left. Gonzaga plus 135, Baylor 3-1. Michigan plus 550, Houston plus 650, USC 13-1, Arkansas 20-1, Oregon State 20-1, UCLA bringing up the rear at 28-1. The LA teams are advancing. That's a lot of fun. They'll play on Tuesday. I'm trying to sum it up. Gonzaga rolled, Baylor rolled, got off to a slow start against Villanova. But then, you know, it's funny. These teams that live and die by the three, I'm not saying Baylor does that because they play great defense, but they were like 2-for-12 from three, and they were able to make up for it. Whereas in Alabama was not able to make up for it, you know, and that's where the better teams are. I thought the best game was Arkansas. It's actually for the 8 games on the whole, they weren't that entertaining. The first 6 went under. There weren't a lot of points scored. UCLA Alabama only went over because it went to overtime. But I thought Arkansas Oral Roberts was the best game. And we saw that Max Asemus, who spells his name with a B for some reason, top scorer in the country. Lots of fun to watch. He missed that last second shot. I thought it was in. I don't know if you were watching. I thought it was in.
Just, yeah, by the camera angle, it looked like it was going to hit the bottom of the net there. I mean, for real, I it's super fun. If Oral Roberts would have won, that's ridiculous. That's not good.
Why? Why is it not good?
15 seed being one of the 8 teams left standing is ridiculous.
Why
it undermines the credibility of the tournament, but fine. But the other one that just points to why the diminishing returns of a tournament, upsets are fun, but Oregon State Loyola, like, I mean, that's a game. That's one of the last games. And you saw,
first of
the
all,
game
you get to see Loyola. You don't see any time during the year because they play in a crap conference. Yes. And they play a defensive struggle against Oregon State and add to it the sister Jean. It's all fun. We wouldn't have seen Max Asemus, right? He's a sophomore. He's only 6'1". Don't expect to see him in the pros, but he glided past these other guys, put up the last second shot. That's the most memorable moment of the tournament. And you're a proponent for it never have happened.
I get it. I understand that. I don't want to beat a dead horse, even though I already am.
No, if you were right, you would want to, but you're wrong. So I could see why you would want to.
I mean, because we're I guess, ultimately splitting hairs. It's like I'm trying to hot take the March Madness and saying it's not a fun tournament. It's great fun, of course. It's, you know, I watched Lethal Weapon and I watched I don't know why I'm in a jag of watching 80s movies, but I am here at the house. And, you know, I like all those. I just think it's flawed. I don't think it's a great way to establish who's the best team, but who cares? That's not.
No. I got to hit you on this because
I thought the UCLA game was, to me, that was the best game.
You're ignoring hard facts when 10 of the last 13 years, the number one has won it. So you can't just say, oh, it never produces. We're seeing nines versus eights in the finals like that. No, that's not true. And by the way, this is the worst part of your argument. And there's so many different ways to attack it. You love hockey. And there is no postseason tournament that invalidates the regular season more than the NHL playoffs. There's just not. There's eights routinely upsetting ones. And you're like, oh, it's glorious. Why are you not talking about that all the time? How bad the hockey playoffs are and what they do for invalidating a 5-month regular season. You might as well play a scrimmage on a pond against local kids 4 times a year because you're getting 8 seeds routinely upsetting ones.
If you're arguing with me that we need fewer teams in our postseason tournaments, no matter what sport we're talking about.
No, I'm not.
I'll sign off on that.
No, I'm saying just hockey.
Argue with you about any.
I'm saying just hockey. I'm not saying every sport. I'm saying NCAA has it right because 10 of the last 13 years, a good team has won. Hockey, we see the one seeds bow out in the first round. A lot, not even just a little. So
I don't have a response other than yes, I agree. too many playoff teams in every sport. 7 playoff teams per side in the NFL stinks, and it's going to produce diminished results as we go through the next decade or so. They're going to be more stinkers landing in title games than otherwise.
Yeah, I just don't know why you don't complain about it more. But why don't you complain about it more with hockey?
I can't mount much of a defense right now because I don't have the numbers in front of me. Let me look them up to see how many bum teams end up winning the Stanley Cup. I don't think that happens.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you hate to see Oral Roberts, like, why would you want to see Winnipeg? And like, you're seeing once.
I don't. Right. And my answer is, I don't want to see that. I don't like it any better in hockey than I do in college basketball. The one and done nature of it, and it's just these. You know, I guess it is, you're right to some degree, that the NHL's,
it's the worst. It's the worst when it comes to
a fourth place team is the equivalent of a ninth best team in the ACC getting in and making hay in the tournament. Listen, it's great fun. That's my bottom line.
Okay.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
I just disparaged the Pac-12. Good news for Scalabrine and Jeff Schwartz and otherwise. I'm on board now. Consider me among the converted, at least for these last handful of games.
Oh, we have to root for the locals at this point, right? I mean, what do we care anyway?
Now we're going to jump on the Pac-12 bandwagon.
No,
fine.
No. What do you mean? No. Yes, of course. It's a local team. They've gone far. You went to Indiana. What do you care if a Pac-12 team wins?
Now we got our new coach, which is another story altogether, and we don't need to get into that. I will tell you here and now. The Beavers, the Pac-12 is doing well. How much more evidence does one need to know that they're getting too many points here in this one? The Beavers 6-0 against the spread in the last 6 neutral site games, for what that's worth, as an underdog. All the numbers point to they are really undefeated, and however you want to chop it up against the spread, given, you know, neutral site factors or as an underdog or following a straight up win, everything points to the Beavers getting past a number that looks a little bit too big here. So give me Oregon State.
I'm with you.
Congratulations, Jeff Schwartz.
I'm with you too. Houston, 7.5-point favorite. That's tonight. 129 is the over-under. They beat Syracuse. They beat the zone. Everything everyone said is true. They had two, but, you know, to beat the zone, you have to rebound and you have to shoot well. Well, they beat Syracuse, who went cold from 3 by 16. Oregon State, though, 18-3-1 in the last 22 against the spread. Ethan Thompson coming off 26-point game and a 22-point game against Sister Jean. They played defense. They held Tennessee to 17 below their average. They held Cade Cunningham to what, 6 of 20? We saw what they did to Sister Jean's team. That was that's a very good win. That game wasn't really even close at the end. I'm taking Oregon State plus the 7.5. What do you like, Arkansas Baylor?
I'm bummed that I didn't, by the way. I just, it was one of those ones where I was thinking to myself by halftime, or as UCLA was pulling away at the end of the first half there, I was thinking, dang it, I knew the Bruins were, the money line was the bet there. And I cursed myself after the overtime. I'll go with, this is an interesting one, I feel like, with Baylor. And the suffocating defense is something. And we talked about the looking in the mirror effect that Villanova might have on them. And I felt smart halfway through the game, and then Baylor stuck it to Nova. Here, it's fascinating because the Bears, you know, the bookmakers have now caught on that Baylor depresses scoring to some degree. The Razorbacks have taken every game under the last four. Choose your side here. I'm going to go under with Arkansas combined with Baylor's defense here. Baylor, for what it's worth, this is a risky pick because they keep taking games over, because I think the bookmakers started to lower the number a little bit. You tell me if I'm wrong about on that one. But the Razorbacks have consistently, in fact, undefeated in taking games under the last five overall. Baylor, almost as successful in going over. I'm going to say here that these two teams combined, maybe the pressure of a Final Four and otherwise, depresses scoring even further. So I'm going to go under in that one.
Yeah. No one's going to argue with the under picks in this tournament. I don't know. There's at least one team gets off to a real slow shooting start. Arkansas have been behind by 11 or more in the last two games. And then they were losing, I think, at halftime or in the first half to Colgate. Baylor forces the third most turnovers, which is good, I think, for your under. If they're down 10, Arkansas, in this game, I think they could be down 20, I think, against Baylor. Mm-hmm. I love that Moses Moody, good player. I think he averages 17 points a game. Steve Lavin came on Against All Odds the other day and said it becomes about guard play in the third and the fourth and the fifth and the final game. And that is where Baylor thrives. Damian Mitchell, Jared Butler, Maceo Teague, those are the guys you want to lean on. Baylor 9-3 against the number in the last 12 on a neutral site. I say 80-65. I think we're both happy there, Dave. That puts it under 145 and a 15-point win for Baylor, who I still have a little scratch on to win this this whole thing. I mean, it's funny. People say, I don't know, I'm looking, I was watching even Barkley and the Inside the NBA guys who are doing the NCAA post-game show now. It's like, can anyone beat Gonzaga? And they're like, oof, no. No, like, well, hold on a second. All these teams left are at least as good as BYU, who gave Gonzaga battle in their conference tournament final. So we can't say no. It is single elimination, Dave, to your point. So they could have an off day or an off half and not be able to come back. So I think USC can give them a run. I think Baylor, if they meet up, can give them a run. Let's not automatically get Gonzaga cash it at plus 135. I think there's still a lot of action left.
I mean, I definitely agree. Some of the truths that have existed since I started watching college basketball, and we've talked a great deal about that NC State team from way back when, who beat Phi Slamma Jamma, and now Houston, after all these years, back trying to get to a Final Four. But, you know, that's a truth I learned very early on in watching college basketball and the tournament specifically, is that it's about the guards.
Yep.
And, you know, I also, the other side of it is, and that's kind of, I know it's exciting and everything else, but when a whole season boils down to just those 40 minutes, you go cold shooting the ball, of course you can lose a game. And certainly the way Gonzaga plays, I wouldn't be the greatest stunner of my life. If I had to bet every dollar I had, just straight up, who's going to win the tournament, I'll take the Zags. But it's not going to floor me if USC knocks them off.
Well, I think they'll be, if they played Baylor, I don't think they'd be more than a 4.5-point favorite in the finals. So do you really want to ride that plus 135 for the next three games?
I don't know, but let's please give me that one, and then you can stick it to me, but good. You can just make fun of me. See, it all worked out. That's all I want. What I want are the best teams to play. What we've known for 2.5 months at least now is that those are the two best teams. Just give me that, and then I won't bellyache for at least 3 weeks about it.
I think we're going to get there. Hockey's a different story. I don't know who's going to be. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's, you know what?
There you could flip
your
coin.
Keep on being too cool for school. I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm saying if you're ever going to flip your coin, that's where to do it. Baseball playoffs and hockey playoffs.
Come on. Is that, it's a fluke that Gretzky and Lemieux and Crosby and Taves and, these are the guys who have won the Stanley.
Generations.
What are we arguing about?
We're arguing that this day and age, hockey produces eight seeds as much as
this day and age has produced this particular year. Mm-hmm. Our Lord's year 2021 has produced one of the most satisfying, entertaining, engaging hockey seasons of my lifetime. And shame the devil, Sal, you are turning your nose up at it. Eddie Spaghetti, he sends texts just blindly about like, hey, the Blue Shirts, they're going to catch the Flyers and everything else. Just to live through poor Eddie Spaghetti as he hopes against hope that his Rangers sneak into the playoffs this year is worth the price of admission. It's lots of fun, Sal. You really should.
I do. Well, I'm on it. Listen, I was on your bet, the anti-Sabres bet. And by the way, who plays them? Someone's on the road today against them, like a -210. Who is it, Spaghetti or Meatballs? Who's playing them? I don't know.
They finally wised up a little bit now.
The goal
Todd
and a half.
Furman has figured it out. And, Meatballs and Brother Bry and Parlay Kid and otherwise, everybody jumping on board with this one. Now it was bound to happen, but it's now getting prohibitive. It's getting to be a little bit crazy to bet.
Well, and they lost.
The Sabres
they lost. You almost the Bruins only beat them by one. Bruins actually had it. I was watching on my phone. But
you did watch that, right?
Well, because I had 1.5, but I also had them straight up just to win. And the guy had an open net, empty net with 20 feet out. And
Patrice Bergeron with 10 seconds to go.
Yes,
missed the net by missed the open cage by 10 feet. It
wasn't
was
even close. Wasn't even close. But what I'll say is still bet against them just to lose, right? The Sabres, I think I've been putting them on every parlay, every team the Sabres played just to lose, not even the goal and a half. I know you're laying like -300, but I liken it to I like this chili crunch sauce that David Chang has. I put it on everything. Hmm. So that's kind of what I'm doing with the anti-Sabres bet. I'm putting it on every parlay.
It's a smart bet, and it's only going to get worse. As I say, they're like incompetent Thanos, the Buffalo Sabres right now, because they've got a gaggle of talent. They dealt Eric Staal, and we don't need to talk NHL anymore if you don't want. But they have a bunch of pieces that if a team can assemble a couple of those pieces and put them on, that's going to be enough for them to win the prize jewel of the NHL, the Stanley Cup, because they do. It's weird because they have some high-end players, but they are an all-time garbage team. Anyway, listen.
Well, can they grab the eight seed? That's the only way they're going to win the title. If they're lucky enough to grab
All I'll say to you is this. The bottom line, the one thing that's remarkable, and I know there's a lot going on in sports, but you dress 18 skaters in the NHL. The Penguins literally have been missing 1/3 of those guys. A high-end guy, superstar players. 6 out of the 18, no matter. They continue to win hockey games. It's quite a show.
I think you got my Islanders tonight after beating them this weekend. That's what I've been trying to remark.
That was the latest remarkable feat by the undermanned. But let me just say one more thing. The Hart Trophy is going to go to Connor McDavid. But it's officially time to start talking up number 87, Sidney Crosby. He's lugging this.
It's time to start talking up. What are you really?
As a Hart Trophy candidate, I mean, he's dragging this team right now to heights unimaginable.
23-1. Jump on it, Dave. FanDuel's got it right there.
He's not going to get it.
FanDuel.com/extra points.
He deserves
points.
A shout out.
All right. What did we do? We covered the Nets, Aldridge to the Nets. Drummond to the Lakers, I think, is a bigger deal, actually. 3-1 odds, Lakers to win it all. 18 points a game, 14 rebounds. That's a real player. When you start playing defense in the playoffs, which some teams tend to do, that is going to be tough to go inside. Teams will beat them with the three, maybe. But my God, if everything's working, everyone's healthy, and AD and LeBron and Drummond inside, it's going to be trouble. And more importantly, kept them off the Clippers. Right? Because the Clippers were one of the teams in the running for to sign Drummond.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, it's kind of like we talked about last week, the with pro football and free agency, you know, the even people in Pittsburgh who aren't happy that Juju Smith-Schuster came back to the Steelers, you'd be very upset if he wound up on the Ravens. When you rob Peter and pay Paul within your division, that's a real problem. So, right, for the Lakers to keep him off the Clips at least is worth that. But let's hope also for if you're a pedigree snob like I am and you like merit, if we get Lakers, the defending champs, against this Nets super team, that's going to be the most satisfying final, all due respect to the other possibilities and the stylistic difference too. I mean, that would be so much fun if you have Drummond, LeBron, AD, and otherwise going up against these, you know, high end scores on the perimeter. It's juicy stuff just because they're so, you know, as much as two NBA teams can play it completely differently. That's what you would see in an NBA finals. It'd be fascinating.
Well, it probably will be, but I am going to bet these parlays that Scalabrini left us with. The Bucks and Gonzaga at 21-1. Bucks and Baylor at 33-1. I believe those were the odds. Go to FanDuel.com/extra points.
He's a champion. Look at him. USC and Celtics. We it'd be a slap in his face, and he dominated that high school kid. Who are we to turn our nose up at Scalabrini's advice? This is his year. Let's jump on board.
And you know what, Dave? He announced he's a champion, and now it's time for us to announce our champion of the week. Yes, Crown Royal, back doubling down on its responsible drinking commitment, bringing the Crown Royal water break to even more sports events this year. There we go. Kevin Garnett is helping out. New Crown Royal TV spots remind us to stay hydrated, stay royal, and not to be that person that ruins the game day experience for friends and family. My Crown Royal athlete of the week, Francis Ngannou, the new UFC heavyweight champion of the world. And of course, Dave, as often happens with these things, I have to lose money on the Crown Royal athlete of the week to recognize him. I didn't really bet against him. I put money that his fight against Stipe Miocic would go over a round and a half. Well, it was over 1 minute into the second round. He dominated Ngannou. He went out there. First of all, this guy worked in sand mines, Dave, in Cameroon. And now, what a great story. Coming back, you watch the video. It's heartbreaking. They show him in the sand mines. Heavyweight champion of the world. Sweet man in the post-fight presser. Already called out by John Bones Jones. What a great fight that would be. I think I saw if it happened, Ngannou would be like a minus 140 favorite. Let's do it. Bones Jones, get your act together. Fight him. We get it. You tested positive for drugs after the fight, but let's just see it. I don't think any kind of stimulants or what else you put in your body is going to help. Francis Ngannou, the new UFC heavyweight champion and my Crown Royal athlete of the week. Who's yours?
I'm going to go with, that's a good one. I didn't know that that sand needed to be mined to begin with. That seems weird. Seems like there is
it's cruel.
Places you could go to just get to it. You don't need to mine it. There's plenty of it around to begin with. Anywho, I'm going to go with Kevin Durant here because I feel like he is at the right spot as we complete this NBA circle. It wasn't very long ago where people were saying bad about KD for allegedly ring chasing. Mm-hmm. You know, he is one of the 10 best players in NBA history and was before he went to Golden State. And given the makeup of the NBA in the 21st century, he went to Golden State and became their best player on a borderline dynasty. Now, a lot of people on the other side of Basketball America are going to New Jersey to join forces in part with Kevin Durant. Why? To ring chase, allegedly or otherwise. This is some gaggle of talent. And this five, whatever you want to say about them, their name brands, maybe not as good as they were in their primes in LaMarcus Aldridge's and Blake Griffin's case. But imagine what they have gathered now in New Jersey. They have that five right there. The lowest draft pick out of that five was James Harden at 3 overall. The other four guys were either 2 or 1. That's just a remarkable peaking of what started with the big three in Boston and then what LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh put together in Miami. And I, for one, I know people are uncomfortable with change, but is it really that different than what happened with the Lakers? People say Magic didn't need the ring chase. No, he instead landed with Kareem, who forced his way out of Milwaukee and moved to LA. And then the Lakers won a coin flip that got them James Harden from a draft pick. And so that's how dynasties come together. This is a 21st century version put together at the working man's level. I, for one, support it.
All right.
It all goes back to Kevin Durant. Cheers to you, fella.
You know, and the Lakers.
Hopefully you're out
this.
There to win it, though. That's the real
thing. No, I don't think
he's gonna get out there to play.
No. He's just gonna keep sitting down. That would be the greatest, right? If you just like, I kind of like watching this team beat up on everyone without me. And I don't want to spoil it. I'm doing it for the better of the team. The Lakers did this and it didn't work. Remember against Detroit years ago,
yeah,
leading up to that Super Bowl. So it was Shaq and Kobe, and then they added who? Peyton and Malone. And they got smoked in the finals. I think they lost 4-1 to the Detroit Pistons. So
that sounds.
I remember hoping
that
would go away. Maybe, okay, maybe teams would realize that this isn't the way to go. No.
Then Kobe said Shaq was fat or didn't try hard enough or something like that. And then Shaq won a title and did a rap. And
yes, you know, then it gets sad after that. But yes, I know what you're saying. There we go. Crown
you're talking
Royal.
About Shaq on the Celtics?
That's what becomes the most sad. That was our Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. Dave, you have -3.
That's right.
Two episodes coming up this week. A lot of fun last week, I heard. You had Kevin Hench, you had Tannenbaum. You had so much going on, and you have two more coming up, right?
Yeah, we'll have one for you on Tuesday and then another one on Thursday for you. It's been great fun focusing in on all things, really starting at the Ohio-Pennsylvania border and then working east and north from there. We cover everything from Boston to the New York tri-state to Pennsylvania and all the rest of it. Tune in. It's been really good times. Lots of laughs and you know, infotainment.
A lot of fun. On Fox Bet Live, if you win the week, we play against each other. I play against Furman and I play against Clay, and whoever has the most fake money at the end of the week gets a free futures bet on Monday. Anything that happens between now and the end of the season, which is July, I get to put money on. Furman is ahead of me and is going to be way ahead of me if Gonzaga wins the whole thing. I need to make up some ground, Dave. So I'm going to ask you too. The Washington Capitals, the parlay kid gave me this one. Well, listen to me. They're 14-1 to win the whole thing. They're 7-1 to win the Eastern Conference, whatever the frick they call it now. 23-7-4, I think, is their record. Pretty good value at 7-1. I think I have to jump on that.
I don't know, man. I you're not going to get me to say positive about the Washington Capitals.
Just because of what they do over the years and how they choke. That's why?
Well, first of all, that's a legitimate point. And, you know, I've been saying this now. I'm not going to jump off of this now because we're just now getting to the part of the season that I'm waiting for the Capitals to slide back a little bit. They're a little older. They play a different brand than most of the other teams do within that division. I don't think it lends to ongoing success for them. But you know what? They've been not. The thing is, if you buy the notion that either, what is it? I can't remember. Iron sharpens iron or whatever it is. If you buy that, then whoever survives this brutal division of Capitals and Islanders and Bruins and Penguins, then that team may be up. But to me, the Colorado Avalanche are maybe the better bet.
I could take them. I'd have to take them to win the whole thing to make it worth my while. Plus,
I don't think that's a bad bet. I think that's a nice bet. I like that Avs team quite a bit, and they're not going to get as much resistance. So if you buy the other logic that applies to the 80s Lakers, that, boy, who were they beating? They were beating the Nuggets. Meantime, the Celtics were banging heads with the Sixers and Pistons and the Bucks and all of those teams. Like, well, the Lakers were relatively fresh by the time they caught the Celtics in the finals. The Avs, by that same logic, should be a little more ready to go than whoever survives the
gauntlet. Now I have to
think
about this. Do I listen to the parlay kid or do I listen to a guy who lost two sets of keys in the matter of 10 days?
You had to bring that up in the public sphere.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say, but I'll wear it because I'm a man of the highest honor and integrity. Mm-hmm. for the second time in 3 weeks, I've lost my car keys. And this was the backup set of car keys. And now I have my parents here and I have four kids here and we really are stuck. We cannot, I had to take Jean-Claude Van Damashek to his friend's birthday party in an Uber on Saturday night. I Ubered him to a birthday party because I could not find my car keys. And it's a humiliation.
Wow.
Right in line with, it's right up there in Damashek's shameful history with the month in Chicago where I got towed three separate times.
That's pretty great too. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the solution here is because
I don't know.
You lost our trophy, our fantasy league trophy. So even if they made keys the size of a trophy,
that doesn't make still that, ironically, yes. That doesn't make the winner stand of most embarrassing things I've done is losing
right.
a trophy that I got in the winner.
Right. Stand. Ironically, because you would get a trophy. That's what we have to get you a trophy for losing. I wish I hadn't said it out loud. We should have just done it, but wow. All right. Well, we'll hear about this. -3. You could catch Dave against all odds. I'm going to be on. Paul LaDuca is coming on. He has a new podcast called Card Wars. It's going to be on the Extra Points Podcast Network. Dave, here's what I'm doing. I'm giving Paul LaDuca and his friend $10,000 each. They have 10 weeks. Whoever turns a bigger profit wins the battle. I don't even know what the hell I guess we're calling it Card Wars. Because cards are now this is like art, you know. This is
right, I know. It's crazy. I'm excited about it. I got it. Like we've talked about, I have the Lemieux rookie card. I have Cal Ripken's rookie card, Ricky Henderson. These things have to be worth something.
I know. So I'm giving these guys, and they're probably going to run off with the money. If I had given it to my other Met friend, Lenny Dykstra, I would just be out $10,000 the next day. But we're going to try to keep this going for 10 weeks. It might play out for the national convention in Chicago at the end of July. We're going to see. We're going to talk to Paul. He's going to be on. Jen Piacenti is going to be on Against All Odds. We're going to go over all the Major League Baseball futures. Dave, I went over your Pirates. It doesn't look good. They have Charlie Hayes' son. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
Otherwise, it doesn't look pretty. They did the right thing, though, getting rid of Bell. I did some research. They got some prospects. You got to shake it up. You got to shake
Josh Bell, they did their. Yeah. I'm not going to indulge
they had
the conversation about the Buccos. That's they're ashamed of the city of Champions. Shout out, though, to Jen Piacente. She's for real. She knows her
I'm
stuff.
A little nervous. I had to do. Look, I got my dumb cards there. I got for all. Eventually, it's going to be for 30 teams. Your Pirates, 58.5 wins.
What an embarrassment. Projected to lose over 100 games. Yeah. Listen, I don't care if you don't want to do it. We have. Come on. This is all I ask is that we do it. And I don't care what.
It's so hard.
This thing about Toby. So he invented this because he did the, like, you know, what if I'm the architect, you understand? I came up with the plan. Then somebody else had to go pour the concrete. That's what Toby did.
Let me read you his text. Because I sent him
Concrete
your tweet.
Toby.
Your
what kind
tweet
of man
said,
is, what kind of grown man is named Toby?
Among my finest creations, when I tweeted
that. Yeah, that's right. That's goddamn right. I stand
League
by.
Of Leagues. And he wrote later on, he said, what did he say? Oh, so the draft was ridiculous because half the people were complaining that it was too slow and half the people were complaining that they were too busy and they couldn't pick. And so it sucked for Toby. It really did. And honestly, when you have 540 picks to make or whatever it is with keepers, even if you do it 1 minute per pick, you're talking about a 9-hour draft, and people didn't do 1 minute per pick. They did between 3 and 5 minutes. And then Toby writes, I wish Dave Damashek / Winklevoss had never invented this thing.
All right. I don't know. All right. I'm sorry for my, as always, for my dynamite ideas and how they've helped you to live instead of merely survive.
That's right.
You know what? Speaking of living and all that, Howard Schnellenberger, we lost him.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to him. Greatest college football game of all time. The Orange Bowl, January 1, 1984. Juggernaut Nebraska versus Miami and Bernie Kosar. Without that game, who knows what happens? Does the U ever become the U?
Mm.
Who's to know? That swung, really, perhaps, the way we perceive college football. If Nebraska vanquishes some upstart from Florida. Who knows if the Big Eight still exists? And
that was a heyday. I'm looking at the half cut, the cutoff shirts, and then we could see the thigh pad, or I'm sorry, the hip pads sticking out. That was
best
so
game
fun.
Ever. Look it up on YouTube. You will not be disappointed if you're looking for something so to get much to tip off tonight.
Rest in peace, Howard Schnellenberger. Happy Passover.
Smoked a pipe too. Smoked a pipe on the sideline. That was cool.
Happy Passover to everyone out there, our Jewish friends. And what do I want to do? I want to remind everyone that you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Wednesday.